listener.
Hello, BFFs. Ep 39 in your ears.
Now, we recorded this a while ago. I think we recorded this maybe before the NRL season.
Yeah.
NRL stands for
National Rooting League.
Yes. Ed Marley.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we got these two on together.
Because they never have.
No, they never have. And you'll hear that in here. Yeah. Wink.
Wink. No, National Rugby League, which is it Nico?
Nico Hines.
Nico Hines.
He's Nico Hines. Nice, Hines.
He does have a nice bum.
Good looking rooster.
He is.
Who's the other one? Marley.
She's Marley and me.
Yeah. Have you seen the sequel of that?
That should be the name of their podcast.
Marley and Me?
Yeah.
No.
Why?
Because, well, you know what happens in that movie.
But that's not the majority of the movie. Majority of the movie is about love.
Yeah.
And these two love each other.
Yeah, and then Marley dies.
Yeah, spoilers.
Spoiler. It's a great episode. It's an honest episode.
It is.
It's a very honest episode.
There's laughs, a few tears. It's probably one of my favourite we've done in a long time.
And also, of course, I mean, if you do listen to this podcast, you'll know at the end we ask our guests to tell a joke. There's a stitch up that happens at the end.
Yes.
It's very funny.
You can't see it, but Marley does start to tell a joke and Nico goes behind her and just looks at Nathan and just goes, "Don't laugh." Mouths it. So you won't be able to hear that, but
you now know, so you
keep
can
it on the socials. We'll post it.
It's very funny.
This is a great episode.
It's a great episode. Yeah. We love Marley. We love Nico. Up Cronulla. They're doing well. Yeah. Top of the table as we're recording this. I could jinx them. They could come last. I don't know.
And they've lost five in a row.
Funny people. An odd bunch, really. Not your usual folk. They've been making us knee slaps since the ancient Greeks. But what makes these real-life jesters tick? Perhaps today we should ask this person.
Marley Silva?
And Nico Hines.
Tell me, were you born funny?
Oh, this is going to set me up.
How about this? Nico, was Marley born funny?
No.
Has she ever been funny?
Nah.
Nate, Lizzy the Ramble is ready for a dynamic duo who are ready to take the Australian media landscape by storm. One member is a talented storyteller, author, presenter, emerging as a bright star in Australia since being afforded an opportunity to host Nine Network's NRLW coverage, also contribute to the Today Show, Nine Digital. You might have seen her recently on the TV for the All-Stars, maybe some of the Australian Open stuff as well. She's determined to utilise her storytelling skills to inspire people and create change and use her platform to advocate for the causes she is most passionate about, which has previously seen her named as a finalist in the Australian Human Rights Commission Young People's Human Rights Medal in 2019. The other bloke plays footy.
Fuck me, give her a rap.
Nico Hines.
I'm watching Marley's head get bigger.
He won a Dally M medal. That's pretty impressive. Anything else?
That's about it.
Look, these two proud Indigenous Australians have teamed up for a new podcast, which you should go check out. It's called When We Grow Up, which explores the lessons the pair have learned as they've worked towards achieving the goals that many thought they would not. Please welcome the show, Marley Silva, Nico
Wowee.
Hey, hold on a second.
I didn't write the intro, Nico.
You sent them that.
No, I didn't.
You should have seen her cheeks just going wider and wider, the smile. And I fucking play for Australia.
Yeah.
That's
Can you left that out?
Yeah, no, I did.
All Marley sent us about you, Nico, was his name's Nico Hines. That's it. All we got.
I said, can you send some stuff? And she sent heaps.
Wow.
Yeah. And what about the other bloke? She's like, you know.
She's actually been pushing for you not even to be here.
Yeah, seriously. But you know what's actually mad? So recently we've been doing some vlogs, if you will, in All Stars Camp and that. She's been behind the camera. I've been doing the interviewing.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the...
You know what that means? Do you know how uncomfortable I was at the
Aries? Yeah.
I was just going to bring that up.
The tide's turned. She's now holding the camera and I'm doing the interviewing.
How did you feel being behind, like on the other side of the camera, Marley? Did it feel...
Oh, it's good because I'm in control.
Yeah.
And
of what? Pressing the button and fucking record.
I'm also the one who edits everything and makes sure what goes to
air. He's the star. There's nothing to edit if he's not there.
She did say to me, she goes, actually, Nico, I do like you behind doing the interview because we get more views when they see your face, not mine.
Oh. That's true, though. That's honest.
You're working on it, though, mate.
Yeah,
you're working
it's all right. On
it. Yeah, like, just stand next to him more often. Yeah.
Oh, that's why I live with him. I've got the podcast with him. I'm spending every moment I'm in public with him so people will care about me.
Oh, look, for people listening, Nathan and I, we saw you at the Arias. You were interviewing people. And
they interviewed us.
They interviewed us, yeah. Well, I mean, Marley did. Nico was like, sup, boys?
I think Nico is interviewing us, and I had to keep putting the microphone up to his mouth. I'm like, I know we're hanging out.
So, yeah, I mean, Nico didn't ask a lot of questions. How come at the All-Stars then you were asking all the questions? Was that you planned? You pushed him in front of the camera?
No, it actually worked quite naturally, didn't it? Because
it was my space.
Yeah.
We're in my
area.
That was my expertise.
Yeah, true. Yeah. It's home ground advantage.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, we were watching the game on TV. I think I sent you a message, and I was like, geez, Marley's on a lot.
I know.
You're on TV heaps. They crossed you a lot.
Well, you know.
I didn't even need a Nico played. Were you there?
Seriously. Nah.
They really milked the fact I'm the only Aboriginal woman who works for Wide Water Sport. Like, they just milked it. And I did 15 interviews. And I'm like, you know what? I'm happy to be the token. I should be the token in that space. It was me and JT. It was mad.
I'll be honest. You're all over the Australian Open you did as well.
Yeah.
You're all over that. I thought you'd bring
You reckon?
Big, I
haven't heard about it.
I thought you'd bring your housemate in for some Australian Open gear.
I wanted him to come down.
I was thinking I was going to go on dates and like stuff with some of the tennis players.
That's the idea for next year. Definitely next year.
Caroline Wozniacki and Nico Hines.
Yeah.
Wait, what were you doing when the Australian Open was on?
Training.
Yeah. Training. Season,
he didn't come down.
So you weren't allowed to? Well, she didn't invite
I had a weekend available, but...
You restricted yourself.
I restricted myself because I've been off the piss. I was like, I want to stay off the piss.
Yeah.
Australian Open is a big recipe.
We were hammered.
Mate, we were like, look, because we just got back from Nate's Bucks party in New Zealand, and we were like, we're not going to drink. And then Channel 9 invites us to like their corporate box at like 11 a.m., and they just hand us a beer, and I go,
I remember by like, it was like, it was like midday. We had like 5 Aperols. So turn around, they got the big screen there. I was like, there's Marley!
Well, I know her. She's a friend from work.
Why did we bring the fucking radio guy in here? I want to look. We are going to go back to you know when you guys were kids and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's important. Straight. Let's talk about when you two met.
Yeah.
Because I believe the first time you met, Nico, you didn't remember meeting Marley. Is that true? Or one of you didn't remember the other person on the Sunshine Coast? Or
oh wow, yeah. Where have we told that story?
What do you mean? You fed the intro, so you fed this whole thing. Acting like you haven't told him everything.
Yeah.
Smoke a mirror, baby.
No, so, Nico, I don't reckon, you didn't remember, but...
If I remember that head.
So...
Blending the crowd, mate.
Yeah.
Marley walked in today and Nico goes, nice to meet you.
Yeah, that's what
she goes,
everyone,
we're roommates.
Everyone.
You're Jimmy Nace's producer. Yeah. Ask Marley for a water.
Yeah. Where are the boys? The boys are in.
So.
What were you doing in the Sunny Coast?
So I was on the Sunny Coast.
Were you working?
No. I was there for a family friend's 21st.
Oh,
so this would have been maybe 18 months before I met you proper.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine. Was sleeping with Nico and
then it happened a couple times.
I say sleeping because that was her goal that night.
To sleep with Nico?
Yes, again.
Yeah.
And
that's the goal of this podcast.
I've been trying.
Yeah. It just gets away from me.
I don't know if we actually had slept together.
She was keen about it.
Let's ask her. We've got her here.
That would actually be so good.
I was invited that 21st, and I'm like, I'm not coming.
Were you invited to the 21st?
Well, she said, after the game, why don't you come into the party? I was like, no, chance.
Forget about it.
Was it her party or someone else's?
Little siblings.
Okay.
Little siblings.
So, anyway, I had heard a fair bit about him. She'd been like to me, he's like... He's this really nice guy. He's Aboriginal and like he's really proud of his culture and like you'd love him. You'd think he's amazing.
This would have been nice in his intro.
Yeah. Why didn't you tell us that? Sorry, mate. You know he played for Australia.
I only tell the truth. So this is just what I'd been told. And so we had this 21st. I was maggot. As you should be.
Yeah,
and then she wanted me to go out with her after. And I was like, no chance. We'll dress up as hippies. I was like, as a hippie thing. I look like the biggest dickhead. But at the same time, I was like, whatever. Kind of got dragged out. And I didn't think about it at the time. Like, obviously, she wanted to go out to meet Nico.
Yeah.
And I remember walking down the main street of
Ocean Street.
Ocean Street, yeah. On the sunny coast, going to a nightclub. And there was this like real tall guy with like...
Good looking.
Yeah,
handsome. Tall guy. Nice eyes. Swag, yeah.
Not what I remembered.
Good life at the party.
Good 42.
Yeah. Everyone's swooning.
Just wasn't my first grade back then.
Sidestep from cheers.
Men want to be him. Women want to be with him.
Yeah. They'll hit and spin, yeah.
Anyway.
He's hitting the goosey down Ocean Street. Get away from me.
Was that her name, Goosey? Yeah.
But that was.
So you didn't speak to him, you just saw him.
I'm sure I was like, oh, I'm lying. Like that was the level I was at.
Drunk hippie.
Yeah. And I went into the club as moral support with my friend, and then I was like, see ya. Like you guys have
ghosted.
Fun. Yeah. And then it would have been 18 months later when I was spending a bit of time down in Melbourne with a mutual friend of ours. We had a sports podcast back then.
Yeah.
And then this guy, Nico, rocks up again.
Yeah. And you remember him from the nightclub.
I remembered that.
Because how could you forget this tall, handsome, sexy man? Looking
nah, it was a few of the stories that my friend told me after that made me remember.
Good in bed.
Yeah. He's huge penis.
Yeah. Oh, come on. This is ridiculous. I would not have agreed to this if it was just not a sucky up his ass.
Mate, did you not hear your intro?
So in that first interaction, this is a story that we've told quite a bit. I remembered him this second time round, but the proper time meeting him. Because again, Nico is the nicest guy, and he just told his story about, struggling with his mental health. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. What an incredible role model.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to meeting him. And met him within about 20 minutes. He was ripping into me about being a feminist. And then said to me, Marley, you give me the vibe of someone who was a virgin until they were 20. I was like, sorry?
That's a great insult.
Beautiful role model, amazing, kind-hearted Nico Hines. You can sit on that and rotate. Like, I didn't want to borrow it.
Nick, I was just about to ask Nico, what were your first thoughts of Marley? But now I know.
So I'll put that into context.
Yeah, okay.
So we played against the Sharks.
Yep.
Storm, we played Sharks that night before, and I had a bit of calf tightness, and everyone was on the drink, and I couldn't get on the drink, so I just had a bit of tightness. I was injured.
Yeah.
And they're all on the piss. I think they end up back at Harry's house, Harry Cooper John's house.
Yep.
And a couple, I think Dazza went over and he was wasted. And I heard like Harry Grant told me all this, that like she's a feminist and she cares about, always blows up about girl sport and all this bullshit.
So we're blaming Harry.
Dazza was pissed out and went over there and like all the boys and that, and were there with all the girls and having a good time. And apparently Dazza went in there and just started going nuts and like talking about girl sport, talking about bad way to girls, or just not thinking, just being a dickhead. And I heard that Marley was blowing up about it, like just losing her shit, because Harry told me about it the next day. He goes, come over and like, let's rip into him, let's have some fun with him. And I was, so the next day, like I came over, they're all hungover. I'm I was sweet as and come over, and I'm sitting like me and Harry, like cuddled up on the lounge, like just looking over at Marley and that, they're just sitting over there. And then Harry was like, tapping me, oh, let's rip into it.
Yeah.
And then he'd get his phone out and like start filming. And then like I'm just doing my best to just get under her skin. I didn't even know her from a bar or so. And like looking back at it now, I'm like, fuck nigga, you wanker. Like, didn't even know her. And like she was saying, like the stories come out, she must have been thinking I was like some good guy, which I am. But like, and Harry's just jamming me up, being the little instigator he is, hitting me. And she could see like the phone being filmed and that. And so she could see the phone being filmed, but still didn't take it like I was obviously taking the piss.
Yeah, yeah.
So she just tells us.
I've never met you.
Did you get up him?
No, Harry was not inconspicuous at all. This is Harry Grant. And he just like had the phone.
Harry's secret phone.
Yeah. He was like,
pretty much.
This is Harry Grant now, captain of Melbourne Storm.
Yes.
Instigating me to be a bully to the girl I don't even know.
Leader of the Melbourne Storm.
But to Marley's credit, she copped it. Like she can cop it.
Mm.
Yeah. She can cop. She's built thick skin. She started off a bit thin skin, but she's built thick skin.
I'm just broken.
That's called living with Nico Hart.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we ended up staying in contact, and I ended up doing a podcast for him. She begged me to go on a Chicks and Balls podcast.
Yeah.
Told the yarn. She ended up crying on it. because I told such a good story.
Yeah.
And then I signed the Sharks and I was like, hey, let's be friends.
Yeah. So, and then when did, you know, when did the roommate thing start? When did you, like, who needed a place first?
I did. Right. I did. I was having a horrible time with my previous roommate.
Yeah, yeah.
And we...
First time that's been spoken public.
Oh.
I don't really
care. Shouldn't have lived with Harry Grant. I mean, that's bad. Pest.
Yeah.
She's pretty much over my house a lot.
Because I was having a horrible time. And they moved around
So you were living in Sydney at that stage?
So I was living in Cronulla. And me and my best mate were living in an apartment in the Shire across the road from North Cronulla Beach there. And it was like a two-bedroom, your little unit. Which was bad at the time.
Northies downstairs.
Just literally, about.
Pretty much.
Perfect.
Yeah, and then like,
oh, Joe.
I noticed Marley was like starting to be, not down, but just like wasn't enjoying living there. And
and as a friend, you noticed that.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah. And I could tell, like, she was coming over dinner a lot and she was just like wanting to stay on my lounge all night and not leave. I was like,
yeah. I had a few sleepovers on the lounge.
I
really didn't want to go home.
I was like, this isn't right. You can't be uncomfortable in your own house. I had to buy a house for mum and had to get that all that sorted for obvious reasons. And then I was like, spare room, Marley. Like, you're not enjoying living there. Jump in.
Yeah.
It was the worst fucking thing I've ever done.
And I felt the same.
For the first 3 months, it was hard.
Oh, really? Because you're a shy girl. So I went Port Hacking High.
Port Hacking
grew
High.
Up in the Shire. Yeah. How did it feel when, you know, when Nico said, you know, come and stay with me. How did that feel?
It was awesome. Because we genuinely were spending so much time together and at that point didn't really consider the difference between seeing each other a lot and living together.
Yeah.
So it's just like, hey, this is awesome. I get to live with my best mate. Like, this is going to be so much fun. I was proven very wrong. But I was really excited because I was like, I really am hating my living situation at the moment.
Yeah.
This is going to be easy.
She went from hating to... even worse, more hating her life. Living arrangement, hating living arrangements to hating more.
Yeah.
So what were you butting heads over? What was causing the issues?
It was all me.
Yeah. Were you stirring her up or it was just...
It wasn't all me in the fact that I was in my own head about it all.
Yeah.
There was also a lot going on.
There was a lot going on. Like, mum just got out of jail and I have to look after her. And then she just signed with Nine. We're doing podcasts now, living together. So I'm seeing her even I'm seeing her at the footy field. Like, I'm playing footy, looking across the aisle and there's Marley standing there.
She's going, fuck on Mike.
Yeah.
Get away from me, Marley Silver. Anyway, and then.
She's like, you just want to carpool home?
That's literally what he got really mad at me one day because I was like, oh, we're going to Shark Park. Oh, like, and I don't have parking. We didn't have parking.
Ask to be on the team bus, did you?
No.
Pretty much.
We live like a K from Shark Park.
And she couldn't walk.
Because
no parking, couldn't walk, but decides that, Nika, I want to drive with you.
I just said, can I just jump in?
I don't know. So you go, how excited we get to drive together to the game.
The 925 from Cronulla stops at Shark Park and Miranda Fair. You could have gone.
But wants to get in the car with me. Get in the car with me when I'm driving to my game, when I'm getting serious.
You're in the zone.
Professional. I'm in the zone. NRL game. Like, this is serious. And
is this
like,
the season you win Dally M?
No, this is last year.
So that's why he didn't win again.
Yeah. Because Marley's getting in the car with me on the way going, oh my God, we're going to the footy together.
Mind you, Marley's career is flourishing.
Mine's just going like that. And then I think I bought into the fact that my teammates started saying, you and Marley are in love.
Yeah. That was genuinely, that was definitely something that I picked up that you were starting to go, oh my God, it looks like that.
Yeah.
And you were really worried about it and thought that I was cock blocking you. Like, a little bit.
No, mate. I've been out with the great Nico Hines. No one's cock-blocking
him. That's the thing, right?
Oh, how we've tried.
Yeah. I've tried my best, mate. You just can't. It's like seagulls coming to a chip.
Yeah,
right.
I hate to admit that's the truth.
It's true.
So that pressure was cut. That was coming from your teammates and you're buying into that.
From a lot of people.
Yeah, it was. Like, I refused to buy into it for a while.
Yeah.
And then it just, like, went nuts. And then, like, at home I was, like, trying to have my own space and Marley would be sitting next to me. I'm just going... maybe this girl is in love with me.
Talk about big hair.
Did any tabloid...
Did you chat about that, you two?
We did speak
about
it.
We did end up speaking about it.
Because
I admitted it. I was like, we've had honest conversations the whole way through.
That's the only way you can survive.
Did any media pick up on any of that? Because that obviously adds extra pressure as well.
There was a Daily Mail headline after we did the Arias red carpet because we pictured together.
But she's already with her man Wes then.
Yeah. Okay.
So if that article came out 3 months earlier, she was out.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
It's not my fault.
Yeah.
But it's to look back on it, it's sort of like, Nico, you're a bit of an idiot for like buying into what they say. Like, I'm a big believer now of like, who gives a fuck what people think?
No, of course.
Yeah. And it's like someone who's so important in my life to me, like as a pretty much a freaking sister. Like, yeah, she's like my best friend. Like, I tell her everything. She tells me everything. We've had a good relationship and we do great things together and we're trying to change the world together, you know? It's just like, and then for me to fall in the trap of believing what they were saying, it's just like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Audio Bones here, and if you want to win yourself a prize this week, the code word this week is the toilet emoji. So head to the Jimmy and Ape Instagram page, find this week's Born Funny video, and comment that emoji under it.
What would your advice be, I guess, if people are listening and they're like, I'm in a sort of similar thing? Is it just fucking tune everyone else out and have honest conversations?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honest conversations would be the number one tip. I think we
honest, tough conversations. Yeah. Like
hard, hard to do. Yeah. We have to do them all the time.
Yeah. And I think that's, you guys understand this, and being a creative pairing, that's what we are now on top of our, you know, personal relationship. I think that we would not have been able to survive like a lot of different moments in the last kind of 3 years of our friendship. If we are so, I'm not more honest with anyone in my life than you. I think you know everything. Like literally it is because it's like siblings, but even more honest than I think I probably am with my sister. Yeah. Like it's really unique. And I think that excites me about where we're going and what we've done together already. And you don't get that very often. Like again, you guys would know this. Like you don't get this creative, you know, person, like or relationship, you know, more than once in a lifetime.
And do you think, and like, obviously, you know, you guys are performers in your own right. You have your own careers individually, but then also together you are a duo.
Yeah.
Do you think that has really helped and improved how the podcast works when you go and do presenting stuff as well? Because you guys know, you know, where you can push, where you can pull, where you got to stand back, where the other person can flourish. Do you think that has really helped you with the podcast and the stuff that you've done together?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Like, I feel like she's helped me become a better podcaster and interviewer. Like I struggle with the interview stuff. Like I'm good at creating safe spaces and like talking and bringing things out of people, but without like asking specific questions. You know what I mean? But yeah, like there's times in the podcast where there's like I take the piss out of her and like she'll say something and I'll just go at her. But I wouldn't do that to someone else, but it's just because I purely know the fact that she can cop it.
Yeah.
And she can handle it. Like today we did one with a guest and like I stopped her and just went at her hard and like the guest sort of looked at me and just went, whoa, and then, like, is that okay? And then Marley's just like, yeah, whatever, you know? So that's just what it creates, you know? And, we've been able to create that and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as much as like I, you know, before was making jokes about what his profile brings to the table,
What has he done again?
Cover footy thing.
It's not on the sheet.
Yeah. So, Australia. You play for Australia.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But.
hey, congrats, mate.
Yeah, congrats.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Quite genuinely.
Actually, an ARIA interviewer, too.
Yeah. Oh, actually, he's a red carpet guy.
Yeah. He's interviewed Jimmy and Oath.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, that's third line here.
Yeah. Quite genuinely, it's not just Nico as a rugby league superstar, but the way that people just adore him for God knows why, but like genuinely are so invested in who he is, what he represents, all of that sort of stuff means that we've built trust with an audience before they've even listened to an episode because of how Nico kind of walks through life, lives his values, you know, particularly around mental health. I think that's been made it really easy even when someone steps into our studio, not because they know anything about me, but because of how he's, you know, walked the walk in a lot of ways, that makes what we do on the potty so easy. Like we very rarely have an episode where, you know, the guest isn't crying, you know, not in a bad way, vulnerable way.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think we would be able to do that easily without, Nico's strength in having shared his story so much.
Nico, I want to ask you about that as well because I have clinical depression, anxiety. I talk about it and I love talking about it. Hopefully it helps other people. But I fucking struggle sometimes because when you talk about it, it sometimes gives people just a door to open up and unload on you like any point of the day.
Yeah.
Like when you're out or you're in the office. I still don't know how to manage that. Like I could be in the office, someone just comes up and goes, Jim, I'm feeling so fucking depressed. And I'm probably not in a great spot, but then you want to give them space and you want to hear them.
Yep.
How do you go with that? Does it happen like when you're coming up at footy games, when you're out on your own?
Yeah, it's a good question. Like, I get a lot of messages on Instagram and it's hard to deal with sometimes. Like, it's like I'm really, really struggling with mental health. Like, if I'm suicidal, if some people say that, it's like, far out. Like, I'm not a professional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know the answers for that.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I know how to deal with my own problems, but I don't know how to deal with yours. So it's more like put them in the right direction, where to go. But on the flip side of that, when I have people or mates, I don't really have random people come up and talk to me, but like my mates can't do now, like, yeah. And I really appreciate that and I love that. And like, I just let them know that like, I can't give you all the answers, but I'm here to listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there probably is time, we know, when you're going through your own things and you really probably can't be that ear to listen to, but yeah. I've found it in me that I just do, you know, like, yeah. I love being the sounding board for my mates. Like, yeah. It's just something that I've really took on board. And because I'm probably at a stage now where it's like, I feel like I'm at my 100% best mental health.
Yeah. Mm.
You may not be there yet and you'll get there, Jimmy. But
yeah.
So I'm available to a lot of people now. So like, I feel like I can listen and be a really good ear to listen to. And I just try and put myself in their shoes and remember what I went through and how I dealt with that situation. Try and give them tools of what I dealt with. But everyone's different.
Yeah.
Everyone's different. But I try and give the best tool possible or the best way I dealt with it. And yeah, I feel like I've been through a lot and that I do have good advice to give. So
yeah,
I try my best. I do try my best. But like, in saying that, it's very fucking hard.
It is hard. Well, I mean, Marley, you know, as Nico's best friend and, you know, a support network and all that kind of stuff, you know, I'm the same for Jimmy, mm-hmm. going through all that stuff.
Yeah.
What kind of things have you learnt in, you know, providing Nico with the support when he needs it, when to offer support, when to sit back and listen? What kind of things have you learnt as someone supporting somebody who might be struggling?
I think that I'm benefited by the fact, you know, as we were speaking to, that really open and honest relationship that we have. I'm also someone who struggled with anxiety, was sort of diagnosed with an anxiety disorder at 18.
Yeah.
And having that mutual respect and safe space that we've created in our own relationship means that those conversations are a lot easier. But it's also just never feeling too worried to say, are you all right?
Yeah.
I think a little bit. And we actually kind of have a designated safe space, which sounds so silly, and it's also going to sound really wanky. We have
not
a
at all. I love that.
We have a sauna.
Yeah, wow.
Nico has a sauna.
Yeah, yeah. In the place.
Nico has a sauna.
Yeah. Nico has a sauna.
I call it the truth box.
The truth box. And genuinely, like, there has been times when I know that there's something on Nico's mind, or, you know, that he can tell that there's something that I need to talk about as well. And we go, do you want to have a sauna?
Yeah, yeah.
And just having, I think anyone can have whatever their sauna is in their life. Sometimes it's to drive in the car. Yeah. Sometimes it's, you know, I don't know, your favorite cafe or whatever. And if without, because sometimes it's like worrying about pointing to that and saying that's what it is. If your support network knows, or if there's a place that you can take that person that you care about just to check in, I think that's, there's something about that being a designated space, because there's stuff that we talk about in there that we don't talk about again once we leave it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just about letting it out.
I think that's brilliant. Yeah. So I think that I've never heard it put that way before. I think that's really cool. I think like, and it's a space, as you said, Marley, you know, you don't have to be like, hey, I'm upset, can we have a sauna? It's just like, want to have a sauna?
Yes.
And you both know what that means.
Yes.
Which I think is really cool.
Do you think as well, I find when, you know, we're talking about mental health or stuff, like, it's still important, I guess, to laugh. And, you know, like, you're talking about ripping each other, like Nathan and I still do that as well, because a lot of conversations when my mates have struggled, they don't want to talk about it because it's just like, it's like, fuck, I have this real serious conversation. Like, do you find that as well? Like, you can show that side. It's like, we can have serious conversations, but it's still important to be friends, talk shit about each other as well.
Yeah, we never stop doing that.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Like, I have friends that I do have those serious conversations with a lot, and probably not as much laughter, which I probably should. Like, there's certain people I'll ring just to have, like, I need your advice and I need to get this off my chest and whatever, but I probably don't ring them enough just to have a laugh with them.
Yeah.
So that's a good point you make. But with us, it's different. Like, we're always laughing and carrying on, but like, we can sort of sense when one of us needing a chat. But yeah, I think it's important to have that relationship. Like, you need your best mates in your life to bring you back down to earth sometimes and have and put shit on you and have a laugh. But then they need to be on the flip side to be your best mate and say, righto, what's going on?
Absolutely.
What's wrong? Let's have a chat.
Yeah.
You know? So I feel like we just have a really good balance of that.
Guys, let's go right back, right, for both of you now. Mm. Marley, grew up in the Shire.
Yes, yeah, the God's show, Country.
Yeah, God's Country.
You know what it's like.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Laguna Street Public School. Yeah.
Laura Bingle went there, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she...
Nico, we'll leave. Throw out about the Shire.
Lara's also here.
Well, Nico's king of the Shire now, so actually, I'll leave.
Yeah, actually. Fuck myself. Yeah. 2-2-3-0, baby. Yeah.
And I'm a Queenslander as well. Fuck me.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Jesus, get the fuck out. Get it home. Marley, growing up, what kind of kid was Marley Silver? Were you funny? Were you quiet? Were you attention seeking? What kind of kid was Marley Silver?
Yeah, it's funny. I think there were two sides to a young Marley Silver. Yeah. I look at the home videos and I also know what torture I put my family through. And I was such a performer. Yep. So
this seems to be a theme with a lot of people on this podcast.
Yeah. There are, you know, videos of me, like my mum always had a video camera out. I swear a lot of our parents did when we were growing
always.
Up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're these great, I love watching them back, but it's me sort of jumping in front of my poor sister, being like, look at me, look at me, look at me. And this is the Silver Family show and sort of everything that we did. Very much like watch this dance, watch this play, watch this dress up. Constantly, always wanting to perform, always feeling comfortable in front of a camera.
Yeah.
Outside of the house, shy, could not remove me from my mum's leg. She was really worried about how I was going to go when I got to school.
Yeah.
And she chucked me in drama classes.
Okay.
Because she was worried I was so shy. I didn't like meeting new people. I got really, like, I had panic attacks when I was, well, I realized them
anxiety.
What they
that
were
was
now.
Really anxiety.
And early days, like, for the, when I was in year one for a whole term, every single day, because I didn't like my teacher and there had been change after the first year of kindergarten being totally fine, the change completely set me off and I had a panic attack nearly every single day of that term. So I realized that there was sort of this big juxtaposition. I always felt more comfortable on a stage with a microphone in front of hundreds of people or in front of a camera or performing or playing a character than I did, you know, meeting a new person. Even through my teenage years, hated going to the hairdresser.
Oh, really?
Hated the small talk at the hairdresser. I used to make my younger sister, if we're at a store, pay for our, like, a lolly or whatever. I wouldn't do it.
Interacting.
So that was how I was. Like, and I think that I was clearly, like, needed to sort my shit out a little bit. And it's so nice for me now to feel like I'm...
You still don't pay? Nico, you have to pay for stuff now as well.
No, don't say that because you... He will say that.
Even stuff.
Nico had to borrow his Mars bar from the server. Yeah.
She's like, I don't want to go in and talk to them about fuel. Can you pay for me?
Yes.
Nico's like, why the fuck are you still in my car?
Well, I mean, you can go and buy me a car.
Yeah. I'm just teeing all of that up, guys. But it's a nice full circle moment to almost feel like there's a certain level of healing to now be back embracing what I've always meant to be, which is someone who's just talking shit in front of a microphone.
Do you remember, you know, that young when you were performing and all that kind of stuff? Was it a laugh you were craving or an applause or was it just attention? That, like, where you just want people to watch or what made you feel good? People watching you, people laughing or people going afterwards?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Thanks, Nico. Appreciate it.
I think that if I watch those like little videos of me back when I was quite young, it was very much for a laugh.
Yep.
Really silly dancing and like stupid characters and big voices and like, you know, waiting for the laugh.
Yeah.
And then as I got to school and then a bit older, it was so much public speaking and I wanted the applause.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think I, there's a quote that I actually think of because by the time I was about 18 and I was not in a good place at all. I think I saw this interview a bit later, but it resonated with me so much because I realized that was what I was craving after I'd hit rock bottom, which was David Lupepe, the lead singer of Gang of Youths.
Yeah.
He said in an interview that when he hit rock bottom, he stood up to applause.
Yeah.
And that's how he describes his career. And that's what I sought.
Yeah, wow.
So I think that's what I was always looking for is that you stand to applause and that's what lifts you up and that's what drives you and I guess gives you energy.
Yeah. So like just to skip well ahead now, like, you know, the All-Stars are talking about you on TV. You upload that photo with JT when you were just a little girl.
Yeah.
How do you feel then in that moment now from that girl, rock bottom, to being on that stage?
Oh, yeah. It's
Does it feel real?
It does.
Yeah.
And I tell you
and
what.
And you deserve, feel like you're like, I deserve to be here.
Because it took a lot to get there.
Yeah.
And it's not just like the struggle of this industry, right? Because I didn't even think I was going to end up in media. Just as it's been a roundabout way to get
but
there.
But when Nico Hines moves to Cronulla, she ends up behind.
Helps. You're a dickhead because I was trying to get serious there.
Oh, go, the Marley. Ebbs and flows of this. I love. This is why I love it.
I have certainly been in positions before where it's sort of like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm here. And how did this happen? A little bit of imposter syndrome, I think.
Yeah.
But these days, there's just been a lot of hitting that rock bottom again and having to claw my way back up, you know, particularly during a time where I was more recent in the last couple of years, where I felt like I was doing it completely by myself. And that's not to discard my family as a support network and stuff, but I just felt very abandoned by a lot of other things going on. And so when I get to a point where I'm standing there next to JT, as I had done 11 years earlier, and being able to look at that younger Marley who was so lost, who did not fit in her Shire high school as the only Aboriginal girl aside from my sister in the whole school, who was very socially ostracized, who felt too shame to really embrace myself as this performer that I knew that I was, to be alongside like one of the greatest rugby league players ever who I loved and just wanted to be like JT when I was growing up.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Marley.
Right, you'll get there, Nico.
And have that moment and represent my community and my culture in doing it and have my best mate out on the field and, you know, some of my other great mates in the women's game and my sister playing the touch game before it. That whole night, that everything, that moment, that was almost like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I was supposed to be.
I mean, you make a really important point there, and it's one that, I mean, I want to come back to, but I want to ask this of both of you now. You know, community and culture, two things that are very, you know, important to both of you. You know, when you see, you know, the Indigenous Australian community getting around you guys, when you guys can, you know, build it up and you can represent it in such a beautiful way, how does that make you feel, you know, as young kids when you didn't have that opportunity and now that you're at the forefront of doing that for so many people who didn't have that opportunity when they were younger?
Yeah. We talk a lot about why.
Yeah.
Why we do things. What's your why? What gets you up in the morning? And I'm a little bit different in terms of my identity journey to Nico in the sense that I've always been very connected to my culture and been very lucky in the sense that, my family has just always kind of guided me along and I've had lots of opportunities to learn from different elders and the like. And everything I've ever done has been with the idea of what a young Aboriginal person might feel and think and see when they see me do it. Every door that I open, I hope to hold open for another young, particularly Aboriginal woman to follow me. I was taught to think in four generations. So I had an elder once tell me that the work that he had done, he sees as what it would impact four generations down the line. I had, you know, my grandmother and great-grandmother grow up in times where they weren't Canada citizens, where they grew up on missions, where they had to ask non-Indigenous mission masters for food tokens and quite horrendous things like that. And, you know, what they went through, the stories that they imparted onto me as a tool, but also as a lesson to this is what's come before you and what you do will impact what follows you. Everything I do is with culture and community in mind, even if it is me doing the robot at the AO.
You did it well, though.
Thank you.
That was when I had those apparel. I know that robot.
But it's because I hope that there's someone in the same way, like earlier today when we were recording an episode for our podcast, the guest was talking about the impact that Kathy Freeman, seeing her on screen, had for her. And she's not Indigenous, well, she's not Aboriginal, but from a different culture and saw it being an inspiration as an athlete. But I saw Kathy as the first time I'd seen my flag on TV.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my goodness, look at the way the whole country is around her. I want to be like that. I was never going to run. but I want to be able to just show the next person who might feel like they see themselves in me that they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Nico, I'm assuming you feel the same, but, you know, representing your culture, playing for the All-Stars, all that kind of stuff, is it very similar to you know, the way Marley's talking as well?
Well, you didn't put that on your sheet either. Yeah.
Hey, Marley didn't tell us. We said, what do you want it to say?
I just guessed.
She goes, he'll be fine, just put the Dally M on and footballer.
Okay. Yeah, it is. It's the best thing I've ever done in my career is go and join the All-Stars camp for the first time in 2022. And we're just continuing to evolve, and I'm continuing to evolve as an Aboriginal man. And like my connection to culture was lost as a young kid, and my mum's dad got taken away from her when she was young, and I've never met him, never seen a photo of him, and never been a part of his life. So mum was lost from him. And then, it took a bit of time for us to build the confidence to be who we wanted to be and a proud First Nations person. So, and then rugby league, like, sport's a beautiful thing. It keeps you connected in culture, and it keeps you connected in all different things. You make certain relationships, you become who you want to become. And then my thing with rugby league, what's got me so far, is being able to get connected to culture. And like, I'm just so proud of what sport can do for you. And it's amazing. It's I just can't thank the NRL enough. Purely the fact that they run, like, Preston Campbell star this All-Stars event, the NRL continue it, the greats like Jonathan Thurston, Greg Inglis, they wrote it, they started it all off. And then, like, our cultural advisors, our dance group, everyone who comes in, who makes it so special that when you walk in, you walk out 7 foot tall, proud as punch, like, and the legacy we're creating now, right now, over the last couple of years is unbelievable. We've got kids at school now doing our walk right at school. You know? Wow. Like they haven't had that before because we're building it. Like, it's just that certain foundation. We do the same dance every year now, but we just sort of tweak it a little bit.
Yep.
And like, the kids are in there doing it. Like, let's do the All-Stars dance, you know? And that's something they've never had before. And, you know, you see the kids wanting to do all the Latrell Mitchell tri celebrations, Josh Adokar, you know, like, I'd love for them to do like a Nico Hines thing at school. You know, like, I sat in the front of a TV watching Jonathan Thurston, the All-Stars, when I was a kid, and I wanted to be there, you know, yeah. And now I get to do that. And it's like, it's so hard to explain the feeling, but it's the most important thing to me in my life at the moment, my culture.
Rugby league, you know, holistically for you, Nico, as well, how has that, you know, helped with your confidence in front of the camera and behind the microphone? Like, you know, being that team mentality, but also you are essentially performing, right? When you're playing, you're performing in front of thousands and thousands of people every time. How has that helped your confidence off the field playing footy at such a high level?
Yeah, I think huge amounts. Like, it's, we're entertaining, right? It's an entertainment business.
It is. It's an entertainment
without
business.
The entertainment price, yeah. Or the tag, whatever what do you want to call it. But yeah. Huge amounts. Like, I never ever thought I'd be a podcaster. Like, what the fuck? Like, I've always been a pretty Like, I never thought that. Like, or one day when I was young, I was like, oh, I'd love to go into commentary after I played footy. Like, I remember watching it as a kid, and then they're like, oh, well, you're going to have to get good at talking in front of people if you want to do that. Like, I think my stepmom said it to me or something. And I just never imagined my life being like sitting here right now in your studio talking about shit. You know,
well, what were you like as a kid? Like, were you outgoing? Were you shy?
Grew up in Gosford, yeah?
I had a bit of both. Like, right now, like, if you asked me if I'm introverted, extroverted, I'd probably be a bit more introverted down that line. I reckon, as a kid growing up, I was right in the middle. Like, I could be a really confident, like, in front of people I know, really confident. Like, you know, like, I could get people going. And at a barbecue, I'd be always hanging out with mates, being loud, you know, look at me sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then you put me into a room where, like, if we go to an event with my dad and that, like, you know, don't know him, like, I wouldn't do nothing.
Quiet,
I would sit there and wouldn't say a word, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I can sort of get like that a bit now, but I don't know. Like, I just didn't – all I ever wanted to be was a rugby league player, and I didn't know what could have come out of that. Like, I just pictured myself in the bright lights in the middle of ANZ Stadium just playing rugby league. And as a young kid, I just don't know what other avenues you can get from being a rugby league player. I didn't really know that until I come to Sydney. Like, being in Melbourne, we're sort of hidden away from all this stuff.
Yeah.
I've always been pretty confident talking in, like, in interviews and that, which I've been okay with, but – yeah, like, just so oblivious to the fact that there's a bigger world out there that you can do, and you can do podcasts, and you can get on radio, you can do TV shows.
Are you thinking about more stuff now, like what you want to do post-career and other things that you want to explore?
A little bit. Like, I probably got guilty of thinking about it a bit last year. I sort of got obsessed with, like, far out, you know, I can, after footy, I can get into podcasting, or I can run me, have my own show on Channel 9 with Marley. Like, I can earn all this money, like, doing cool things. I want to.
Yeah.
But when we're going the Arrows, I was like, I'd love to get into the space of, like, not just footy players and the footy fans knowing who I am. I'd love to be, you know, Bo Ryan, like, for example. He's known by a lot of people now.
He's everything. Like, Amazing Race. He's doing the Top Gear reboot.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he fucking fills in for Kyle and Jackie
Art. Yeah, exactly. And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I could do that. And I was sort of had
a better looking version.
Yeah, probably. But I sort of got to a moment where I had to hit the handbrake. And I'm like, fuck, Nico, you have bigger things to worry about in your sporting career right now. You need to win a grand final.
Yeah.
You know, you need to take Sharks to win some finals footies game. You know, you want to keep playing Origin in Australia. You know, like, so I started getting my head ahead of myself a little bit, but, like, you got to start thinking about at some stage of what you can do outside of footy and branding yourself out.
Balance, though, I guess. It is. Yeah. Like, because even for Nathan and I, like, we have the radio show and then we do stuff like this and then you get invited to cool events like the Arias and things like that. And, like, Nathan and I get guilty of just going and doing so many fucking things and then, like,
and wanting to do it as well.
And then you come into the radio show and, like, you're tired or you're not really concentrating and it's like, oh, hang on, fuck, this is my job. Yeah. This is the bread and butter 9 to 5.
No, nothing else happens if this fails.
I need to keep working at
this. Exactly my point what I was about to say. Like, if I'm not playing my best footy, people aren't knowing who I am. People aren't wanting to invite me to events. People aren't wanting to know me. Yeah, that's right.
Like, footy, I'm taking the sauna and you can fuck off.
Seriously. Like, if you fuck with the footy, what's got to where you are in the first place, that's when things will start happening. And, like, I've always made sure to Marley, like, I've told her, like, I'll do the podcast if my footy's going well, if I continue to keep playing good footy. If as soon as I see a form slump or me affecting my training, if I'm waking up at training and not wanting to be at training or I'm feeling tired, whatever, that's when I'll go, nah, I'm not doing podcasts this week or whatever. So
yeah,
I feel like I do have a pretty good balance. And then on the flip side of that, like, I love doing events. Like, you meet amazing people like you guys. You meet people like Kate and Lisa from Sony, you know?
Yeah. Shout out to the girls. They love that chat.
They want a photo at the end of the podcast.
They're like, send them the photo. Well.
I was like, they still look the same.
They're like, have us in the podcast. I'm like, no.
Boring.
Born boring.
Change the title when they come in.
Lisa, Kate, come on in.
But, like, they're two of the best people I've ever met. Like, they are so genuine and, like, they are so great to my family. And so you meet all these cool people. We have so much fun at all these events. And it's just like you said, you've got to find the balance, right? Because rugby league has got me to where I am. And I have a duty to make sure I'm doing my best for Cronulla Sharks. They've bought me, they're paying good money for me to perform at my best every week for them. And then I need to do that for them. And then I can reap the rewards off field if I'm doing that at my best.
How do you deal, you know, as a player with a form slump? Like, when you go back and you know you haven't had a good week.
Well, he's never had one.
Yeah, when it eventually happens. You know, you have an off game, you have an off training session. How does Nico Hines bounce back from that?
Yeah, well, I hired a mindset coach.
Great.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. So
when was it? When was the slump or?
So Origin, my debut Origin, and I missed that critical tackle and they went and scored at the other end and then they scored again. And, like, whether it was my fault or not, you know, I blame myself. I reckon we lost because of that tackle. Other people think otherwise. I never know what the outcome would have been if I made that tackle. They still could have won the game. Who knows?
No, but of course.
I went after those two games to try and prove everyone wrong and go, fuck you guys. I know who I am. I know the player I am. I'm going to carry these Sharks team. I'm going to go out there and set up 5 tries a game. And we had to go against Broncos and Melbourne, who were the two of the top teams the next 2 weeks after that.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's go. I'm going to fucking show you pricks.
Yeah.
Went out in that Broncos game, first half, killed it, set up a couple tries. I think we were maybe winning at halftime or was draw at half 10 or something. And then second half, tried to do all that again. I just overplayed. They ended up beating us 24-10 or whatever it was. The next week went to Melbourne. I was like, you know what, let's go. I'm going to go back to Melbourne and
your old team.
Show
them up. Yeah.
We got flogged by 50 or something that game, and that was probably the worst game of my career. And then I sort of sat back and went, fuck me, Nico. Like, I had a good chat to my coach. She sat me down and told me a couple of harsh truths. Like, Nico, you need to use your team. I know you want to go prove everyone wrong, but this is a team sport.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you're right. Then I started to forgive myself. I didn't forgive myself from that Origin experience. And then it took me a couple of weeks to forgive myself. And then like I, plenty of chats, like I went out of routine. I wasn't having my day, like daily intentions. I journal. I wasn't having my meetings with my mindset guy. I didn't think I needed it. Like I was just going away from what works.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I woke up to myself, forgave myself for what happened, spoke to my guy and did it all properly again, I just come out of it. And then we went on a decent run. We run like five of the last six games. We end up making the finals. We probably were looking like we weren't going to make finals at a certain point in there, dug myself out of it. And yeah, like I put things in place every day to make sure I'm sticking to routine, sticking to my process, what tasks I need to be good at that day. Breath work, visualization, all these little things that I put in place that, that works for me. And, when I go away from it, then that I learned the hard way that that's when you have a little form slump and, you got to stick to what works.
What about you, Mar? Like in your own, you know, you talked about hitting rock bottom at different points. What do you do to get out of that? Like, you know, Nicky's talking about things that he does get out of form slump. Like we have form slumps. Like in this industry, you do. Like you're not performing best. How have you got out of it?
I would have to say that I don't think I'm very good at handling them still. Like if I'm completely honest, I have always been the type to seek my psychologist at the point of crisis.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think a lot of people struggle with. And it's maybe an ugly truth to the mental health journey that we don't talk about a lot is that you kind of, you might be able to find the strength to talk about the struggles that you've been through.
Some of my best sessions have been when I'm feeling fucking great and I'm like, I'm going to go see my psychologist.
And see, that's really hard to do. That's hard to go, hey, that this is because I'm managing things. That's why it's a management strategy to keep going.
But and we don't. We go, all right, I'm fucked now. All right, let's see what I need to say. What do I need to change?
And I think I still hold on to a little bit of ego and a little bit of shame about those low points. So I still struggle to, when I'm feeling really good and flourishing, first of all, to know how to maintain the balance that Nico is, you know, doing quite well. I'm push myself until burnout and kind of crash again. And it's something I'm trying to get much better at. But in those, really deep, dark moments, I rely really heavily on my support network to help drag me back out. But I also have always done what I call sort of like the art of distraction. And that, and again, it's maybe not the healthiest thing, but I always go and create something new. So at a low point, I created something that ended up being my first podcast, at a really low point. And I and then that ended up turning into when I wrote my first book and whatever. And I think that, again, it's a dangerous thing that I've kind of told myself it's okay to hit that point because something, you know, the rose has always grown out of concrete off the back of it. And it's something that I'm working on actively I think I'm much better at being aware of the edge that I'm getting to and trying to pull myself back. But I think having people around you like Nico and like my partner and my mum, who I definitely don't listen to as much as I should, to just kind of send off the alarm bells of like, hey, like maybe things are getting a bit overwhelming. Maybe we should, you know, take the foot off the pedal a little bit, but that's a work in progress.
That passion to create that you were talking about, where do you think that comes from? Has that been something that, you know, Marley Silver has always done since she was doing the dancing videos that mum was filming? Or have you learnt that from somebody, or have you always been somebody who wants to, you know, do more to create and to, you know, to try different things that you've never, you know, really thought of before?
I definitely think it's something naturally I've always done. Yeah. I've just always written stories or created things and had to make something new constantly and challenge myself in that way. But I was certainly encouraged to do that by my parents.
Yeah.
My mum kind of always says that when she was having kids, all she used to say was that she wanted them to be good people and to read books. That was all she wanted us to do. And I certainly took that and ran with it because I'm an author.
Can't read though.
Yes,
really. Not a good person.
Beautiful writer. Beautiful writer. No idea what she's writing.
But that's all she ever wanted us to do was just to read, to love reading, love learning. And we would just always doing that. Like we're biggest nerds ever. You know this, Nico. And it would be because at at night, Mum would be reading us like children's encyclopedias, and not because she wanted us to, you know, be some academic superstars.
No. Sounds like a fucking shit time.
Yeah, yeah, all right, honey, to E in the encyclopedia.
Nick, I was like, I was playing footy. Yeah.
I was literally doing anything else.
Yeah. But that thirst for creativity and that, I think, admiration for what you can do with telling a story certainly came from what Mum, like, and Mum would make up stories for us at bedtime.
Oh,
we
wow.
You know, not very often were we reading a book, like, obviously to a certain point, but she would just create these stories. And
about a wizard.
Magical school.
Yeah. Little star.
I think your mum read you Hogwarts. I'm sorry, Marley.
What the heck? In a similar way to when we were talking about with Nico and with rugby league as well, is it important to, you know, when something is going well and, you know, the TV stuff, the podcast stuff, to be in that moment and to make sure, okay, I want to make sure I get this right, because this is, you know, give me the platform for other ventures as well. Is it still important for you in that respect to ensure that all your attention?
Where's the bottom mic? We had a microphone under his ass. Don't tell me we moved it.
That was fucking loud. I thought someone ripped paper. It was like,
this is really like a good taste of what it's like to live with him.
No, so I can taste it.
Oh yeah.
It is a good taste.
Up Cronulla.
No, I think it's up and go. A protein.
Is it important to still, you know, focus on the things that you are doing in that moment, as you said, and not get, you know, too caught up in what's the next thing, what's the next thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that what I've definitely gotten better at is in the moment, say when I'm at Australian Open, that's I'm giving my 110% to, because I'm also really trying to be respectful of the people who have invested their time and trust into me.
Yeah.
So I've freelanced for a few years, and it's really nice. It's weird to say, but it's really nice to have a boss again.
Yeah.
Just to be accountable to someone, and also to get feedback and to grow. And I think that I lost my love and my passion for creating stuff for a period of time. And then now to be like, first of all, what the hell? I'm working in TV. How did that happen?
Nico Hines.
Yeah, so we already established that.
Look to your right.
But now I'm like, oh my God, I love this so much, and I want to do a really, really, really good job. So it means that when I am working on NRLW or All Stars or Australian Open, I am able to do, sort of what Nico was describing, and make sure I hit that out of the park. So at the end of it, they go, yes, sweet, we want you back.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, this is how you can get better, and let's, you know, keep going, because I'm aiming for Carl Stefanovic money.
Yeah, nice. Aren't we all?
No, we're aiming for Carl and Jackie O, mate.
Like,
Hey, you want some accountability, do you? I'll give you some accountability.
Yeah,
here we go.
Stop fucking leaving your poo skids on the toilet.
He's told me about this.
Yeah.
We did a whole podcast on it.
Yeah.
There's a brush next to the toilet.
That's what I was supposed to bring up in the fucking podcast.
Oh, my God.
Marley.
Are you leaving them around, Marley?
Marley's been away on the Australian Open, came back, and I went to piss in the toilet. There was a little nugget in the toilet.
Oh,
and she's the only one that's been home all day.
Marley.
Look,
it was
let
disgusting.
Me just say this. Again, this is another thing, right, that's going to make Nico look like he's out of touch with the common man. We have, like, he has in his house. Sorry, I have to keep it correct. Japanese smart toilets that automatically flush.
Are they the ones that wash your bum for you as well?
Yes. We're a big fan of the bidet.
Nice.
Is it heated water?
Yes.
Oh, that's
heated
good.
Seats.
Oh,
weirdly drinkable. It's really
not what she's going to dunk it in.
It's like one of those bubble teas.
So surely, okay, it auto flushes. You can flush again.
Yes,
do you
but
just walk
gets,
away.
No, but I'm telling you, it has a very thin pipes that get very clogged.
No, but how did the nugget stay there?
Because I flushed it.
It shouldn't get clogged, but because
it back up.
The water cleans your ass for you. All you need to do is like a little bit of paint just to check and put it in. So it wouldn't get clogged. You're saying your shits are that big.
Are you a non-checker?
I do check.
No, but did you see the
nugget? I don't want to have this conversation. I didn't see it.
So
I looked
and shit and walk away. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And like, I have my own ensuite, so I'm usually going to the toilet in mine. But like, sometimes if I need to, I'm busting in my lounger, I'll just quickly go to theirs.
Mm.
And then the day I go in there, it's just a little
what
nugget.
If there was people over, Marley?
Fuck,
I would have brought shame on our household.
You should have. She tried to deny it. In our roommate chat, she tried to deny it. And then she came home and she just...
I thought at first I was like, no way. Like, no way. Like, I flushed and there was nothing there. And then I did an experiment. And it sometimes works like an experiment.
She just went back straight in there. And
I've got another
experiment.
One in the chamber.
We're not talking about poo. Come on.
Just so you know, you've said that like three times, and then you've also continued telling the story three times. We're not talking about it. But I went home and did an experiment.
Anyway. Oh,
and actually,
well.
Then I found some of my undies.
Well, she doesn't wipe, apparently. Yeah. She shits them all away.
It all does it for you. Guys, there's a couple of things we want to do before we finish up. The first thing I want to ask is, Nico, what do you find funny? What's something that you like, or like, you know, it could be a genre, it could be a person, it could be a thing. Like, what kind of thing, and Marley, you can think about it because I'm going to ask you the exact same thing. What kind of things do you find funny? What does Nico Hines find funny?
Oh, good question.
It doesn't have to be one thing, it could be anything.
Far out. What humor do I like?
There's a movie, TV show.
Yeah. I like Adam Sandler's movies.
Some.
Old school Adam Sandler?
Have you seen That's My Boy?
Yeah. With Adam Sam,
the school teacher.
Yeah,
that one. That one. That fucking makes me laugh.
That and Marley leaving Han a nugget Solo. In the Japanese toilet.
What else makes me laugh?
Do you watch any comedy? Do you watch stand up comedy or anything like that?
Oh, not heaps. Carl Barron stuff just made me laugh. I've seen him live.
Yeah.
Carl's so good.
Yeah.
Who's funny in the sheds? Who's funny in for the Sharks?
Someone is unexpected. Sione Katoa.
Really?
Yeah. Like, he doesn't say a whole heap, but when he says some stuff, it's just like
nails it.
Everyone pisses themselves every time.
Who's the funniest person you've played with?
Fuck, that's a great question.
Sione's funny because he stands out on the wing the whole time just thinking of bits.
Yeah.
He's got so much time. He's like, fuck, right now.
He's like, yeah, no. Okay.
But there's something, people don't find this funny, but so we're playing against the Titans at Coffs Harbour once, and Greg Marju was playing for the Titans at the time.
Yeah.
And like, it was a scrum, and they were both walking back to their wings, and Greg Marju goes to him, oh, Us, you tired? And Sam looks at him and goes, you tired? I'm not tired. And tries to get in his head. You tired? I'm not tired.
You must be tired.
Because he was just trying to make a conversation like this. The Greg Marju was. Oh, you tired, Us? I'm not tired.
Marley, what do you find funny? Is there a particular style?
Leaving his shit in the toilet and walking away.
Yeah, that's it. If I think of like my, the humour that I've always loved and sort of what I've said this before in front of Nico, so I don't want to say it again, but it's sort of like my comedic influence is Hamish and Andy.
Yep.
Very much so.
But we'll go fuck ourselves.
But I really, like, I just love silly, good-hearted humour. I love stand-up. I really quite like a lot of British stand-up comedians. I love James Acaster and all of those kind of skit shows they do over there, and I just love sort of harmless, silly fun and silly fun pranks and all that sort of stuff. That's definitely what I think I grew up with. And
pranks,
not shitting into gotcha. Nuggets. That's what it was.
Actually, sarcasm's probably my humor.
Sarcasm's
I love
good.
Sarcasm.
Yeah, I like sarcasm.
I love being sarcastic, but when I lived in the States, they don't really
understand.
So you're just like, someone's like, are you hungry? Like, we'd been at college like all day, and I'm like, no, I don't want to fucking eat.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Okay. That ass is rude.
Yes. So angry. Like, if someone says something, I'm like, I'm going to fuck myself.
Yeah.
First of all, how big's your car?
I was like, not all the way around.
That's flexible. Yes. Have you seen the ass? It's like a kangaroo's tail.
Well, let me tell you, mate, it's not as big as Nico Hines.
Actually, there's girls around when you're like,
hey, guys, look, we asked you this question at the very start, and now at the end of the podcast, you know, when we've spoken about heaps of different things, your relationship growing up, all that stuff, we'll ask again. Some people change their answer, some people, you know, keep it exactly the same, but do you think you were born funny? Nico, do you think you were born funny, yes or no?
No.
No? Marley?
I think I was a little bit.
I'd probably agree.
Yeah. I think you were, like, you were talking about your performances and the videos, like, that were, you were trying to be funny.
This is what I wanted to say. When I think of myself as being someone who was born funny, I was born to be laughed at.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's genuinely, that's a kind of funny,
that's
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Nico, as you explained as well, you know, footy has given you that confidence to work outside of, you know, throwing the footy around, but also being on a microphone, being in front of a camera, and that, you know, brought out the funny in you. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I reckon I was born to be raw and authentic and, like, emotional. I'm a real emotional guy, but I reckon in this sort of space, like where I can take the piss out of someone and they enjoy it, and like you guys bring out some funny moments in me. So I reckon if I'm around the right crowd, that can bring out my funniness sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think you have good timing as well. Like a lot of like athletes who
timing is everything.
Yeah,
it is. Timing is everything. And what, I don't. What? That's so again.
Timing,
timing
is everything.
No, but you've like, I don't know if that's something you've learned, but when we've hung out, I'm like, you know, you wait for someone to finish the thing, and then you're like, bang.
I feel like I got some good timing.
Yeah,
timing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're tired, bro. Oh.
Am I tired?
Yeah, you're tired.
You're tired.
You're tired.
Because I'm not tired.
He's like, I'm fucking wrecked.
I'm not fucking tired.
All right. The only other thing we need from you, do you have any jokes to tell us? You got any jokes for us? Okay, good.
Oh, you go first.
Yours,
you
long.
First.
Yours is
you,
long, isn't it?
Just, no, it's not. But I just, I've got to get in the zone and remember how to say
Nika
it.
Go for, yeah, Nika can go first.
All right.
Nika
go first. So I don't really have one, but what do you cross a nerd and a burger?
What do you get when you cross a nerd and a burger? What?
A nerd with a burger. Marley Silver.
Don't give me a pity laugh. That wasn't even funny.
You know what's funny is your reaction. Yeah. And that's what
she's a nerd and a burger's a Derek. Like a burger. You're a burger. I call her Nerd Burger at home.
A burger's a Derek.
Okay, I actually did my homework. Okay, all right. Okay,
now, I am fucking stealing. You look like you were a virgin till you were 20. That is a great
burger. That's a burger. Being a virgin till you're 20 is a fucking burger. So she's a Nerd Burger.
All right, I'm going to try and tell this story. It's probably not going to be as funny as I want it to be. So there's two nuns.
Mm-hmm.
They work at a nunnery just outside of Paris.
Yeah.
And every Sunday they go bike riding.
Mm.
Every Sunday they go up along the river and back every day. Every Sunday it's as their exercise. And one day they were just enjoying the sunshine and they wanted to go a little bit longer. So one of them suggested they would come back through the city. So they go out past the river and then come home via the city, and they finish their bike ride and they're like, oh my God, that was the best. They're just puffing and panting and had such a great time. And
you told us.
And one nun turns to the other nun and she says, oh wow, that was amazing.
Mm.
I've never come that way before.
Mm.
And the other one goes, yeah, must have been the, it must have been the cobblestones.
Nerd burger.
Cop that, you fuckwit.
That was a total sabotage. You stitching me up the whole way. I was asked to bring a joke. I brought a joke.
Burger.
Marley Silver, love you, mate. Fucking love both of you.
Thanks, Steve.
What was it? It was a cobblestone.
She was fighting on the pistol. Listener.